Good afternoon. Welcome in. WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. How you doing, Andy?
I am tremendous in the midst of the Drake May era.
Yes. It broke yesterday during our show. We've all had about, I don't know, 22-ish hours to digest the news, to hear more from Gerard Mayo. We heard from Drake May today. We'll play that for you in just a few minutes here. I thought that quote there was interesting about how Drake giving us the best chance to win, which was exactly what he said about Jacoby Brissett over and over again, week after week after week. And then suddenly light dawns on the coaching staff over there, ownership group over there. I don't know. You tell me, front office, everyone. And the decision gets made for Drake May, which Mayo also claimed was his decision and his decision alone. Now, let's start there because I think that those are two of the important things that he mentioned in his remarks, and we'll play some more of that, including when he told the team. We'll hear from Drake May about what this opportunity means to him and everything else. We have some other Mayo sound as well, and we'll get to the Bruins game last night, that awful, awful Bruins game last night, which I have lots of thoughts on, and thank God they signed Swayman. But first, let's start with Gerard Mayo, Drake May, giving them the best chance to win and it being his decision. First of all, do you believe, how much of that do you believe? 100%, 50%, 0%?
50%. Okay. I think it's half his decision. First of all, I think the gives us the best chance to win feels like it's becoming his version of in the best interest of the football team.
Yeah,
Bill's fallback.
It is what it is.
Like, I feel like any decision now he makes, okay, we benched Stevenson. We felt like it gave us the best chance to win, right? And there's such a vagueness to it. It works just like Belichick did for so long. The decision, I don't think there's any way it's solely his decision. And I don't know that it should be. We've talked a little bit about this when we were debating this all along the way. Mm-hmm. There's a direction of a franchise that is affected. So that brings in kind of ownership level, the most valuable draft pick in the Kraft era. So that brings in the ownership level.
Yep.
There's the guy who made that pick, Elliot Wolf, whose career could hinge on it. There's an offensive coordinator who late in life got his first opportunity, so certainly his career hinges on it.
Yep.
So, and you built an organization on the C word, collaboration. And now I'm supposed to believe that it's turned into a dictatorship, a Bill Belichick type. Nope, I made the decision. I don't care what all y'all think, whether you sit higher than me or lower than me. Don't care what you think. I'm making the decision. I don't believe that. And it's fine because it's not who you are now. It's not who you are as an organization now. But you also got to the right decision that I've been asking for 5 weeks. So I'm not going to bitch about who made the decision. I'm just glad you finally made the freaking decision.
I'm glad they made the decision, too. I hear Gerard Mayo say that, and I think he's saying it to try and convince himself and maybe the people in that room that what he's saying is true about whose decision it was, not about Drake giving him the best chance to win. I think we all agree with that. I think that's basically a certainty at this point. If at the end of this game this weekend, the collective thought is, wow, Jacoby Brissett would have given him a better chance to win that game, that's maybe rock bottom of this franchise, like I would say. Like, that's the worst possible outcome, is if the game comes ago, all four quarters are over, and you look at it and you go, man, if Jacoby Brissett was playing, they would have had a better chance to win that game. That would be a tough thing. And listen, it's not like I would say, all right, put him in the next week, but that would be probably the worst possible outcome. And that's avoiding an injury.
Look at you, talk radio guy, going to the worst possible outcome.
Well, I'm just saying.
How about we flip the script and go to the best possible outcome?
What why if he don't goes? You just be quiet for a second. Let me finish my thought here.
Well,
Jesus.
Why'd you go negative in the first 5 minutes of the show?
Because we're talking about getting the best chance to win and who gives them the best chance to win. And I'm saying
Drake May.
That Drake May does. I just said that literally 2 seconds ago, and that the worst case scenario would be look back at the game and think, man, Drake May didn't give us the best chance to win that game. That's all. It's a very slim thing, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody thinks that that's going to happen, but that's something that he's been saying all season long, 5 straight weeks. Jacoby Brissett gives us a better chance to win. That's been the company line. That's what he said, and we all know he's been lying about it, but it makes it sort of hard to take this seriously. It makes it hard to take any of the better chance to win comments seriously when he says stuff
like
this.
Well, yeah, I ignore it. Anytime anyone says something over and over, despite changing facts or changing circumstances, just falls, I just ignore it. I don't care whether you're a politician, a doctor. Like, if I go to the doctor and he gives me the same answer when my leg hurts, as my head hurts, as my sniffles, as my cough, and he says the same thing, then don't I go, well, this guy's a quack. He's not even listening. He's not even looking. He's just giving me the same answer every time.
Right.
So when you tell me he gives us the best chance to win, just like you were telling me the other guy did, I ignore it. I just go back to what I see and what I feel and what I hear. Because there's plenty we've heard not from him. There's plenty we've heard from people that don't say the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty that we've heard from Hunter Henry, the way he was reacting on Jones and Keefe
yep.
to a question about Drake May. And those are the things that, to me, have value. Coaches just speak to control the situation, guide the message. I don't even know what you want to call it now, but it's meaningless banter. The reality is, this is what should have happened all along. Young quarterbacks need experience. Now, do I think there's a chance, if we're going to delve into the negative, is there a chance that he doesn't give them the best chance to win on Sunday? Absolutely. He admitted to it. You know what I love?
I watched 5 weeks of Jacoby Brissett, and I think that's a hard thing for
me. But he didn't throw three picks. And
it doesn't matter. I'm talking about a chance to win.
No, but if you...
Jacoby Brissett can't lead a drive. Like, he can't get in the end zone. Like, you can't win if you don't score a touchdown.
If you lose 16-10 to the Texans and Drake May throws three picks, then you could make an argument that Jacoby Brissett would have given you a better chance. Because those three giveaways, maybe they turned two of them into field goals, three of them into field goals. Like, there is definitely a scenario where you could make that argument.
There is.
It's basically turnover driven.
Right.
If he really craps himself. And he admitted... I loved his press conference. Maybe I'm the biggest rump swab for Drake May ever. I thought from not sitting down, standing up like he was his own man, doing it his own way, to admitting he told the team, I'm going to be nervous when we go out there on Sunday, and then I'll settle in,
mm-hmm.
right? But if he doesn't settle in, if he's nervous and the ball slips out, those famous clips in the old days where the guys go to throw the forward pass and it's just like whoop,
yeah,
right out of his hand. And, you know, if Will Anderson scoops and scores it, you go, huh. Bet you Jacoby Brissett wouldn't have done that. He might
probably
have got sacked,
not.
But he wouldn't have dropped the ball. So is there a scenario where he craps himself? Sure. Do I think it's likely through a 60-minute game? No, I do not think that is likely. I think we're going to come out on the end and see snippets of what everyone has been seeing behind the scenes, and that's development and growth. Today, one of the Mayo's answers was like, what does he bring? Arm strength and athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
He can't screw those up, can he?
Well,
those are like, right? I mean... Those are inherent in his game. Yeah. I don't know if he can read the defense. I don't know if he sees the blitz. I don't know if he sets the protection.
You can use your arm and try and make throws that you shouldn't make.
Sure.
You can try and run around and hurdle people and do, you know, athletic stuff.
I'm all for it.
Smart to do. You know, you try and hurdle somebody and you get knocked out of the game. Like, that could happen. But in general, no. I mean, those are good things.
And didn't we talk about that yesterday? I'm kind of all for those things where maybe he shows off his athleticism or his arm strength on a stupid play,
mm-hmm.
so that he goes, okay, so I shouldn't do that again. Like, there's certain times that'll be called for my arm strength and my athleticism. That wasn't one of them. But just right there, arm strength and athleticism, it's an upgrade. And a lot of people believe those two things are part of modern quarterback. You can't play the position, right? We had Bailey Zappi, we had Mac Jones, who had no arm strength and no athleticism. They chose to go in a very different direction. They have two rookie quarterbacks on this team. What do they have?
Arm strength and athleticism.
So I think they prioritize those two things that are strengths, and they're putting them on display.
Yeah, I agree. And that looks like the idea for this team. And in that vein, it's sort of interesting how they went 5 weeks with Jacoby Brissett, who's not, I mean, he's not got a terrible arm. Like, Brissett can throw it down the field. It's not like he's got a bad arm.
It's fine.
And it's not like he's not athletic. He can get away from the rush and stuff. But, you know, we're not talking about a dynamic player in Jacoby Brissett. I think that's clear.
What did Gerard call him the first week? The slowest black quarterback in the NFL or something like that?
He did.
And that was by far, he teased us.
Right.
We all saw that game and was like, are we underrating his running ability, his escapability, his fluidity as an athlete?
I think in general he'd read the blitz and the pocket pretty well in this 5 weeks. I think that was one of the few things he did.
He held on to the ball too much.
Sometimes, yes, but when he needed to get away from it early on when they were really having trouble with the O-line. Once the O-line got better, he got worse, which is weird. I think that's, you know, because like in the first 2 weeks, that offensive line was just a mishmash of nonsense. And then as it sort of stabilized over the last 2 weeks, he held on to the ball too long, and his weaknesses as a quarterback, I think, got more exposed. Drake May did speak today. He talked about the opportunity that he had to prove people wrong. And I was thinking about this, because which people do you think he's talking about here? Here's Drake May.
Yeah, I think just really just what comes with, you know, kind of learning, you know, the NFL quarterback and kind of what comes with, you know, really the title, you know, handling, leadership, learning from Jacoby, what he's done. He's a great leader. Guy's, you know, our biggest leaders on the team. How, you know, the verbiage of, you know, calling the huddles, just had, you know, my first walkthrough and, you know, felt pretty good with the verbiage there. So other than that, just excited for these guys. You know, I think it's an opportunity against a good football team to go out there and, you know, prove people wrong.
All right. Mm. So when he says prove people wrong, I think he means like that we suck, like that we're a bad team. But I also think he's talking about the people who said that you shouldn't play. You can't go out there. This team's not good enough to support a rookie quarterback. And he wants to prove those people wrong. And he may not be able to because those people might be right. You know, like they might be right. This team, they can't protect them on the line. The guys can't run the right routes. They can't separate. They can't catch the ball when he delivers it to them, like all that stuff. That could happen. But to prove them wrong, he has to go out there and show them. And it's finally happening.
What if he was talking to his head coach, his offense coordinator, his owner, and his general manager, the people that didn't think he was ready to play in week one?
Do you think all those people didn't think he was ready to play in week one?
No. I actually think his head coach thought he was ready to play in week one, when we go back to the debate of who made the decision and how the decisions... I don't know why we all do this. What's the evidence? Now, I think we all put Alex Van Pelt in the plan category, because mm-hmm. Every time he spoke, he was the most definitive, felt like, about... You know, there's so much that goes into developing a quarterback, and you got to take your time and blah, 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 blah. And we sort of like, oh, yeah, he's slow playing it. He wants him to not. As for Elliott Wolf, he had the comments to Andrew Callahan. The worst thing in the world is to put him out there when he's not ready and then have to pull him back out. I don't know. Is it the worst thing in the world? Is that really the worst thing in the world? I don't think it's that big a deal. It's a learning experience. But I do think I like that talk, prove people wrong. Like, that's what I think he is. We talked about it even in the summer when some of his practices weren't great, and then we were like, maybe he's a game time kind of guy. Maybe he's just a competitor.
Right.
I think he is a true competitor. I think you're going to see a competitor on the football field, and I think this team could use that, because you know what? That snowballs. If they see him doing things, and by they I mean Pop Douglas and Hunter Henry and all these guys around him, I think there will be value for the rest of the team in seeing him kind of compete. Because Jacoby, great respect, but he was kind of a pinata. Like, he showed his toughness by just standing there and taking hits.
Right.
I'd like to see
and throwing passes in the face of, like, of getting hit. I agree.
But if you can do it in a more aggressive way, in a forward-thinking kind of way, maybe a Josh Allen kind of run. Actually, Jacoby had one this week where he ran and kind of led forward with the shoulder, didn't do the whole slide thing.
Right.
But I think that youthful competitive nature that he brings is going to be a positive for this offense and just the vibe around the unit as a whole.
Yeah, there's going to be excitement. We'll see how long it lasts for. I mean, these things can fizzle out pretty quickly, as we saw in week one. You know, a lot of excitement after beating Cincinnati. That was a game no one expected them to win. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, we're back being the worst team in the league again, and that hasn't changed. So as much as I'd like, and that goes for the other way, too. Like, if May goes out and has a bad game, we'll talk about it for a couple of days. And then if he goes out and plays well against Jacksonville in England, then all of a sudden, you know, parade's back on.
So, we're going to analyze it objectively.
It's going to be a bit of a roller coaster, I think. I don't think you're going to get one consistent upwards trend or downwards trend. I think you're going to see some dips and valleys here.
And I think you're probably going to see that with the new measuring stick right now is Jaden Daniels, right? He's the stud. He's special. He's turned things around. There are some low days coming for him. I'd virtually guarantee it. What I don't understand is why right now, literally this week, he was announced that he's going to start. He hasn't made his first start yet. Why you'd be negative right now? For example, the 603. 603 says, I can't wait to see Drake fall and fail and fall flat on his face and watch you guys on this station scramble to come up with excuses why he sucks. Why? Unless you're not a Patriots fan, 603. If you're a Jets fan or you're a something else fan, a Giants fan, whatever, that's fine. You should be rooting for Drake May to fail. But
sure.
If you're a Patriots fan, why would you be anything but excited?
Can't wait for the franchise quarterback to not be good. It's that's weird.
It's like people want to, like, they didn't like the pick, so now they're rooting for the pick to fail.
I didn't like the pick, and I want him to play, and I want him to be good.
Because you're a Patriots fan.
Right.
So even if you didn't like the pick.
And it's more interesting for our show if he's good. That's 100%.
And you're stuck with him. So wouldn't you rather have him succeed than,
I was right about that. He sucks. I showed you. So now we need another quarterback.
This is the
I would
week.
Like to be able to go on the air and say, I told you so. I do enjoy doing that, but that would only last for like one show, and then we're stuck with a crappy quarterback for the rest of the year, and that's not worth it necessarily.
Wouldn't you rather be wrong and have Joe Burrow?
Yes.
And be like, we have a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. And I think there are so few things in the... You and I proved it. Swayman had a knockdown, drag-out fight about Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. There are so few things in the sports world where I feel like everybody at the same time can just be all in. The Red Sox. Some people think this is going to be a great offseason. Some people are cynical. You, right?
Like, some people are right and realistic.
But for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, shouldn't you be excited about Drake May and the idea that he might be great, he might be special? We might be saying the first game of the next great era of Patriots. Why would you be negative right now?
You want to know what I did yesterday? I bought my son a Drake May jersey at Target.
Awesome.
In 4T.
You should.
And he's going to wear it this weekend, and it is going to be awesome.
Isn't that what it should be right now?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that what you do? Impulse purchase. Buy a Drake May jersey. The red one. I'm excited. He's going to be this. He's going to be that.
It was not the red one.
He might suck. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about how he sucks if he actually sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But in this lead up, there are these people on the text line. There are these people in town that are like preaching negativity about, oh, this is stupid, this, that. No, no, no. It's happening.
Some of them are the Belichick loyalists, right? Because the Belichick loyalists all season long have been like, you watch, you're going to wish you didn't fire him, blah, 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 blah. I'm glad they're losing. Now you see what you lost with Bill Belichick. I don't know how that applies to Drake May necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, the reason why you were able to pick Drake May at three is because of the job Belichick did and how bad the team was and how much you sucked. And that's why you were picking at three, and that's why you needed a quarterback. And by the way, he drafted the last quarterback and then ruined them, and et cetera. So, like, we don't have to go back down that road. But that's, I don't understand this. I don't understand wanting Drake May not to do well. It's one thing for Mayo and Van Pelt and those guys because you're just so loyal to Bill Belichick. I don't agree with that, but at least I understand it. I don't understand this.
And there's also, unless I miss something, no reason to dislike him. Has he done anything like off the field? He doesn't have a, what was that, 99%-er tattoo or like,
oh, the 3%-er, yeah, 3%-er. Right, right, yeah.
Like, is there any, even
Mac
Swayman.
Mac had like a DUI in college or something. Like, yeah,
and
I don't
Mac came off as kind
him.
Of a rich dinky kid.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of rubbed people the wrong way with his personality at times. There, or Swayman, the way he handled his business. I can see little offshoots of, I don't really like this guy. Is there any reason to not like Drake May right
Unless
now?
You just don't like Southerners. Unless you don't like excitable Southern
people.
Are we
people. In the Civil War or
I'm
something
just saying,
now? It's
some
North
people,
versus South?
Those people don't like us, I'll tell you that. Those people down there don't like us Yankees, that's for sure. But either way, there's not a lot of reasons not to like
I
him,
think we are in a rare time for these next 4 or 5 days where everybody in the sports world in Boston should be excited and anticipating the debut of Drake May. Because once it happens, then we're going to have evidence. Then he might give you reason to doubt him or dislike him, whatever. But for now, it's only optimism. This is the time where this is like the preseason. The season hasn't started yet, and everybody thinks they're a champion, right? Everybody's 0-0. Mm-hmm. Drake May has not made a single mistake, correct? Not made a single mistake.
No.
It's ready for plays. It's ready for excitement. I don't get the negativity that some people have.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really either. I think that maybe you could be negative about the fact that it took this long to put him in. You
sure.
You could maybe say that.
But
well,
that's kind of a positive.
What are we doing here now? It's week 5. This is annoying. The season's already... It's not a positive because the season's already down the crapper, basically, at this point. And now you're putting him in like that. I could see how that would
annoy that means
people.
You like him.
Right. It means you like him, but you wanted him to start week 1
sure.
and have a chance of the season.
That's not.
And now you don't have one.
This is some people like rooting for him to fail. It's the wrong time. He's
right.
going to break. It's the, oh, it's going to go so wrong. I can't wait till he tears his ACL and we have the, like, what is wrong with you people?
That's weird.
Enjoy this.
That's definitely weird.
When was the last time you had this? Like, you haven't had this in a while.
It's true.
And some of it was because you had a great quarterback for a long period
for
of 20
time. 20 plus years.
Like,
yeah, I mean.
I mean. What you thought
like the Jets here waiting for that one guy, like, you know,
right.
you had that one guy for a while.
Unfortunately,
so.
For a lot of those teams, you get excited and then it doesn't pay off and you have to get excited about a different guy and it doesn't pay off.
True.
But this is your chance to maybe turn things around.
Yep. You mentioned the timeline. Gerard Mayo talked about when he informed the team of this move and how it all went down.
I told the team this morning, you know, look, these guys are on social media and all that stuff as well. And like I said, we had a conversation with Jacoby and Drake the night prior. But I told the team this morning in the same way that the full weight of the organization was behind Jacoby at the time. I expect the same thing, the full weight of the organization to be behind Drake no matter what.
Told the team this morning, they were like, yeah, we know, coach.
Yeah, we have social media.
It was sort of everywhere. It was like
heard it on the radio.
It was leading the news tonight. Like, they all watch the news, I'm sure. But, like, you know, that was all right. You didn't really need to inform us of this. I think we all knew. And the timing of it as well. Mayo at the very end said he was disappointed that the news leaked out the way it did.
Yeah, but is he?
No, but that's interesting because who leaked the news?
It's great. Well, I had my whole theory.
It obviously wasn't him if he was disappointed that it leaked out.
Or was it? Because the best way to get the scent off your trail.
I don't think it was.
I don't really think it was either.
I think it was someone over his head, and I think him saying he was disappointed was maybe a shot at whoever leaked it.
Probably.
Which I think is interesting. I mean, I just think that's a...
Well, maybe they're still snuffing out that Jeremy Fowler source. Remember the Jeremy Fowler Bentley's going to play on Thursday, and then he went on IR and he's never playing again?
Flushing out the rat,
Maybe they're trying to still figure out who the rat is in the organization.
Certainly could be. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after we hear what's trending from Stiz and Dan Orlovsky on ESPN yesterday. Very much against this move. Here's Stiz with what's trending.